Good morning, everyone. Let's get this thing on. It's on. Alrighty, we're going to do some more Christian evidences today. And first of all, when we're dealing with people, one of the things we often tell them is we look outside. And you can just see the beauty around us and see God's fingerprints everywhere. There's a little kid's song that we've been singing and learning, and it talks about that as well, that we can see God's fingerprints everywhere we look. Now, we talked last week a little bit about this group that we're going to talk about this afternoon, or this morning, and that's the atheists. And we're going to see a little bit why it's been studied that why atheists exist. Why do we have them? Now, we saw in Psalms 14:1 that the fool says there is no God. So we know these people are wrong based on the Bible. But let's continue on and look for some other things. What is one of the reasons that when they look at us, they think that we're wrong? That being simply that when we look at something like a foreign country, and we see this maybe a little, well, I think of the Indians and how they had all these little totems. We would look at them and think that they're strange, and we would want to help them and correct them. Well, that's what a lot of people in the world want to do today when they see that we profess Christ, that we profess God. They think we're dealing with a totem of some sort, but we know we're not. In a world that believes in the survival of the fittest, there would be nobody telling anybody what to do. We would be all out for ourselves. None of us would be out there helping each other. None of us would care. So they think that the Bible can be just taken away, that they can remove it, and it would have no effect on life, or no effect on humanity. If we did that, let's take a look at Matthew 7:12. A lot of us know this is the golden rule here. If we took away the Bible and the teachings that it had, imagine life without this verse. Matthew 7:12. It reads, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do even to them. For this is the law of the prophets." Imagine that. If we didn't treat each other as we wanted to be treated, if we were just for ourselves, this world would be in chaos. Do we need the Bible? You betcha we need it. Absolutely. I recall watching a video one time on a religious debate. This young child came up, or young teenager, I should say. It's unfortunate that I consider him a child now. He believed that there was no God, and he said he was strongly an atheist. But he said he was kind to other people. He liked them. He had good morals. And when the instructor asked him and said, "Where did you learn those morals from?" He goes, "Well, my parents." "Well, then the parents, where did they learn it from?" "Well, their parents." "Well, where do you think your grandparents learned it from?" "They learned it from the Bible, and they passed it down." We need the Bible. We need those morals. Another study that was done back in 1998, and this was dealing with those people who are drug abusers, those who drink alcohol, but more specifically, this was cigarette usage, which is what this study specifically was done for. They said they studied nearly 4,000 people, and they asked the same few questions to each one of them. They said, "Do you smoke?" "Yes or no." "Do you," let's see here, "how much do you smoke?" "Do you attend church, and how active are you in it?" "Are you reading your Bible?" "Are you attending all the services?" And so forth. And interesting enough, and we can look out in the world and see this today, is the further away they were from the church, the more likely they were to use substances. If we take a look at Galatians 5:19-21 here, I've always told people this is my kind of to-go list. This is the list of things we shouldn't do. Galatians 5, the sins of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, that of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Imagine life if we didn't have these. If everybody just walked around drunkard all the time, or if everybody just slept with whomever they wanted. We see that in the world right now. What's going on? It's a terrible place right now when we look at the people. You have children born without either parent. You have children living in one-parent homes. It's a horrible thing. And yet, God said, God instructed and said, do it my way. It's better. I think we need this. We absolutely do need God's word. Interesting enough, if you ever done a historical study on possibly AA or NA, both of them started from the Bible. They've now derived completely away from it, trying to be more politically correct, but both originally came from the Bible. Why? Because the Bible helps people quit. The Bible corrects people's lives. Therefore, we do need it. So another reason people grow up to be atheists, and that rests on people like me, people like you, people who are parents, not teaching their children to have a respect for authority. Because of this, we have people that grow up, they want to be the parent themselves. We often have children parenting their parents, and it's not proper. So instead of listening to the whining and the screaming and correcting them as God has first told us to do, we'll throw them in front of the television. Let them watch the child for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of screen time, but it's not the parent. We are. If we're not teaching them correctly, if we go to Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that we should go, and therefore we will not depart from it. It's our duty as parents to train. It's our duties as grandparents, family members, whatever it may be. It is our job to make sure that they are respectable citizens when they grow older. Think about it. If we do not do these things, if we do not train up our child to respect authority, what do we have? We have lawbreakers. Do any of us want our children in jail? No, we don't. Do we want any of them to keep a steady job? Are you going to be able to keep a steady job if you can't respect your boss? You can't respect the person that's writing your paycheck? No, you will not. How about a marriage? We can't keep a steady marriage if we don't do it God's way. If we don't put others first, we absolutely need God's word. There's absolutely no way without God that we can do these things, without these principles that God teaches us. But because the parents aren't teaching them, the children are shying away, they're falling away, they have no authority. They look at these video games sometimes. I'm not saying all video games are bad, but you get some of those major ones out there that glorify the fact that we can murder cops, or that we can steal from people, or that we can do horrible things. We have to be careful. We have to be mindful of what they're taking care of. If a child cannot respect their parents, how can you expect when they leave the house that they're going to respect God? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It is our responsibility as fathers to raise our children, not just to come to church. Actually, I read the bulletin there from Brad Harrod there. It was very interesting. He didn't ask the question of, does your child attend services? Does your child go to the youth rallies? Does your child do all this? He asked the question, does your child love Jesus? We're to teach them to love and respect not only us, but to love and respect God, love and respect Christ. It is our responsibility. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. This is what happens if we just let a child go about its own way. Let them do their own thing, not correct them. Proverbs 29, verse 15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth forth his mother shame. If we aren't correcting, if we aren't disciplining our child, if we're not making them to behave, We are failing them, not only as they are right now, but as their future. Those citizens that we want them to be, do we want them to end up in those prison cells? No, we don't. 22:15, go back there. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's no reason for us not to correct our children. We love them. We want the best for them. It is necessary. Without God, we'd just let them do their own thing, wouldn't we? This is a biblical principle, to train our children to respect authority, to respect others. It is needed. It is necessary. But because parents are not teaching their children, we have atheists. We have those that don't believe in God. Continue on. A third reason that there are atheists rests in a desire for power. Now, this is an interesting concept because there's nothing wrong with all of us wanting to get a little bit of power, having control of a situation, leading a class, doing something. It's a good thing to have a little bit of power. But then we have those like Pharaoh in the time of Moses that thought they were almost godlike. We had Caesars before, or other kings and rulers who thought they were descendants from God. We have the Pope, who thinks he speaks directly to from God. This power, this desire to be the strongest, to be better than God, that is pulling people away. That is making atheists. Sounds strange, but interesting enough, if we ever read the Book of the Mormons, and I know a lot of us probably have seen it, there's a little bit about it that talks about how when they die, when there's a time when people will become gods. There's a time when Adam wasn't just a man. He becomes a god. We look at this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's see what the Bible actually says about this. We're not going to... Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. It says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. When we die, we don't become gods. We become like the angels. And throughout the Bible, you can see that the angels are the servants of God. And they are expected to obey. And we've seen with the devil in the case that if they don't obey him, they're punished. They are not above God. There is no possible way when we die or any other form, do we ever become a god? Absolutely not. Yet, the struggle, the strife, the people want, they grow up, they think that they can become gods. That draws them away. Again, we talked about respecting authority, but we also have the idea of moral restraint. We saw in Galatians 5, there's many things in there. The works of the flesh, things that are pleasurable. But God said, no, do not do them. Why? Because in the long term, they're terrible for us. We can take in our minds, we can think about it all we want. We can rationalize that God doesn't exist, but that doesn't change the truth. No matter how we shy away from it, the truth is always there. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 is what we're going to look at. Romans chapter 20, verse 21. It says, for the invisible things from him which the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God has made himself apparent on this earth. It is very clear that he exists. Yet people want to shy away, say, nope, he really doesn't exist. I in my head, he doesn't exist, but it doesn't change the fact. You can imagine I'm wearing a purple shirt. You can imagine I'm wearing a green shirt, whatever color you want to decide. It doesn't change the fact that, to me, it's gray, or bluish gray, whatever. But it doesn't change the truth, whatever your opinion may be. The truth always remains. Again, we can look outside and we can see the beautiful creations the God's made, the trees, the birds, the flowers. Can't see them right now, but we know they're there. Another reason that atheists exist, and until I found the Church of Christ, I feel that I fell under this category, is you look up to people, people you respect, people you put your hope in, people you believe that are good Christians, they fail you. It kind of makes us want to think about it for a moment, is that there are people watching us. Those that aren't strong in faith, they're always watching us to make sure we don't fall, to make sure, okay, is this the right thing to be doing? Now, the problem is we're not to put our faith in people. Let's go to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. This is what happens when we put our faith in people. 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. People are going to fail you. It's just point and simple. It's not the nicest thing probably to say, but they will fail you. At one point in time, somebody is going to disappoint you. But is your faith based on that person? It better not be. Our faith and our trust ought to be in God. Let's keep it that way. Again, for our children, it's difficult. They look up to us. They see us. They see the example that we're being. If we're not putting God first in our lives, they're going to see that. They're going to understand that it's not important to them. And if it's not important to you, it's not important to them, what do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to be those criminals. They're going to be those that don't respect authority, and so forth. Let's go to Hebrews 13:5. We've gone over this a little bit before, but the fact of the matter is, man will disappoint us, but God won't. We were talking this morning a little bit about how God is the same God as he was in Abraham's time. And today, he's still the same God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Eventually I'll get there. And verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." While people will walk out of your lives, while those people that you trust, those people you love, while they'll fail you, God will not fail you. God will be there as long as you put trust in him. You have faith in him and you continue to obey and follow him. What's interesting is we go over this and we understand that we're not to put our faith in people. But a recent study was done that showed approximately 90% of people believe almost anything a scientist will tell them. 90% of the Americans, I should say, will believe a scientist. Now, a scientist makes a theory, and they automatically put the trust in it. Are not scientists no more than humans? They make mistakes. They have opinions. They have feelings. Do you not think that maybe that their discoveries, so quote-unquote, are swayed in one way or another? Often, what's interesting enough is most of the theories that ever get created by the worldly scientists are created with the mindset of going through the Bible, pulling it apart, and trying to destroy it. We try to go back to Genesis, and they try to think, well, you know, days really doesn't mean days. It really means millions and billions of years. That's what it really means. That's where a scientist comes in. That's where we get in our schools. We teach the evolution theories. And again, look at that word. It's an evolution theory. Have we ever actually thought of what the word theory means? The things that we're allowing to be taught as truth in the schools. A theory. Let's look at the meaning it says. It says it's a hypothesis, a conjecture, speculation, proposition, assumption, a notion, a guess, a hunch, or a feeling. None of these point to the truth. This is just somebody's opinion, somebody's thought. There's nothing backing it. Just like the theory of evolution. It is nothing but an opinion backed with no proof. We have the proof of creation. We have it right there in front of us. It just baffles me that people want to believe in these things. 90% of people. hopefully us here, and we're part of that 10%, and we'll question it and go through it with a fine tooth and see what they're really saying or what they're really looking at. Another set of reasons that people atheists exist relies again on us, not just parents, but the Christian body as a whole. We're not going out there. We're not teaching people. When Matthew 5 talks about letting our light shine, if we're not letting our light shine, if we're not standing up for God's word, how are people going to know any different? If we're not teaching our children that evolution is wrong, we're not standing up for God's word. If we're not going against these atheistic and agnostic teachings, we're just turning a blind eye. We're not letting our light shine. Now, we're not talking that we have to have a bloody bath brawl here going on, but show them facts. Stand up for your faith. It's interesting enough is in my lifetime, and when I was a child going through school, I remember up till second and third grade, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every single morning. But that's been removed. Anything in school that has anything to do with God has been removed. My child cannot bring a Bible to school for a light reading, if anything. But they don't care. If we go to Deuteronomy 6, now this is a good lesson for parents too here, is that we're to teach them at all times about God. Now, I don't want a teacher at school teaching my child anything about God, because most likely they're wrong. I pray and hope that they at some time do become proper, but it is the parents' role to teach. But to take away any mention of God out of school, that takes away his mind. 6 and 7, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The children need to know constantly about God. Now, again, I don't want a teacher teaching him anything about God other than somebody I trust in the church. But to remove it, any mention that we respect the country, they're wanting to remove it from the money and so forth, it's a horrible, horrible thing. So today, we've looked at many reasons why there are atheists in this world. A lot of it rests on us as parents. Are we teaching our children to respect authority? Are we teaching them to respect God, to properly love God? Not just to profess his name and the rest of the week don't care. If that's the example we're teaching our children, what do you expect them to be when they grow up? It's not going to be pretty. Let's go to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, talking about more about children here. And honestly, I love this little passage. 127, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates." Our children are our responsibility, a gift, if you would say, from God. He's entrusted us to teach them about him, to teach them to love him. We want a better society, we start in our homes. Noah was praised in Hebrews 11 for that very reason. He went out and taught all the world. He taught everybody he knew, but he was praised because he saved his family. Imagine how much better this world would be if our generation, and generations before and so forth, if the next generation taught all their children about God and how to love him properly. We'd be in a much better world today. It would be a small taste of heaven. But unfortunately, because they're not, because we aren't, and we have the problems that we do. We have the atheist in the world. If you want to be like Noah, if you want to be like any of the other Christians out there teaching God's word, We've already studied some of God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to learn how to get to heaven unless you study. You're not going to learn how to get your children there unless you study. You're not going to learn how to get them to love God unless you study. It is ever so important. Mark 16:15-16 enforces the concept that we need to get out in the world. We need to teach. Those that believe will be baptized. And those that do not believe will be condemned. There is no option C in this. You either believe or you don't. You either get baptized or you don't. It's God's way or not. Keep that in mind. The truth does not change no matter if you shut your eyes and, nope, I'm over here. God is always going to be there. Told in Acts 17:30 that we all must repent. We must all change our ways. We must all follow God's way. We saw in Galatians 5 that list there that of things that we shouldn't do. We can't just shut God off whenever we please. It's there. You can be in the darkness, behind your computer screens, whatever it may be. God is there. You cannot hide from him. He expects us to change and follow him. And we are to be the light no matter where we are. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, tells us that we're supposed to confess Christ with our mouth. This isn't a confession of our sins, but it is a confession that Christ is the master. Christ is the best teacher. Christ has the right to tell us what to do. And that is exactly what the eunuch did in chapter 8 of Acts 36 and 37. He says that he was immediately baptized after his confession. There's no time to delay. If there's any that need to respond, today's the day. If we could all, please stand and sing. If anyone needs to come forward, now's the time.
Thou art the way, Lord, I am the way, Thou art the way, I am the clay, Lord.